As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on. Down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down. Let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me.
This is a verse-by-verse study of the greatest book that was ever written. In order to understand this book, you need to be born again in the newness of life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If this has never happened to you, then you need to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again on the third day. He was then seen by over 500 people. On behalf of our sponsor, who is the Creator of the universe, we welcome you and thank you for coming. Welcome to the Book of Heaven.
Well, well, well. Hello, everybody. Great to see you. Thank you for coming to join us this evening. It's always a pleasure and an honor to have all you beautiful people here with us. So, thanks.
Well, I echo that. I'm an echo.
Echo.
You know what an echo is. Echo.
Yeah, if I turn up this phone right here, it'll echo like crazy.
Well, thanks for having us. We're glad to be with you.
We're very glad to have you guys.
Yeah. Jim, how are you doing?
You know, God is blessing me out of my socks. And you too.
You know what? I just want to take a second and tell a little quick story about how this podcast got started. Okay. So I was getting ready to go to Bard's Fest. This was in Kentucky. It was the day before. I had known Jim a while. We'd been doing a little bit of a Bible study. And God had just put it on my heart to build a podcast around Jim, because we just all loved what he was teaching us with our little Bible study and stuff. And I knew it was a good idea because we had a few really awesome benefactors who just jumped on the opportunity, because I didn't have any money to buy the equipment and stuff. And they all jumped in real quick and hooked us up with what we needed. And then my brother Duncan helped me figure out how to operate all this technological stuff. And boom, we had us a podcast. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of a miraculous story, though, because I had gotten to meet you and we were starting to...
The beauty of it is it's not your podcast and not my podcast. It belongs to our sponsor.
That's right.
And he raised up the people to help us. And for all of that, I'm eternally grateful.
Me too. I figure as long as we're doing a good job, he'll keep us on the air. And
he's so patient, he'd probably keep us on if we weren't doing it.
True.
He is patient like that. And very forgiving, obviously. Well, Ms. Shaw, how are you doing this evening? DJ? Oh,
I'm doing great.
Well, looks like you're
good to be here.
Good to have you with us. Looks like your internet's working better now too.
Yeah, hopefully it'll keep going. I keep getting frozen.
Kitty, Larry, great to see you guys.
Okay, there's Larry. Hey, Larry.
We got a lot of couples tonight.
Hi, Larry.
Hev, good to see you guys. Well, Hev's in and out.
Howdy, howdy. Got my better half here.
And Pete, the hologram.
Yeah, Pete and Kelly, how are you guys doing?
I'm just trying to. I'm faking that I'm married. That's why she's cutting in and out. It's.
You have a digital girlfriend with you?
Yeah. She lives in another town.
That sounds like a Saturday episode we're going to need to cover.
Don't go.
You wouldn't know the town.
Don't try a virtual marriage. It doesn't work well.
Yeah, there's. Pete and Kelly, how are you guys? What have you been up to today? I guess you're tired. What have you been doing?
We're just zapped from being out in the sun the last couple of days. We were trying to get some outdoor time before the oven turns on here in Vegas, and it caught up with us. So
we appreciate you wearing your best suit tonight.
Yes, thanks for dressing up for the episode. That's awesome. You're only rivaled by Duncan on the 300th episode.
Dustin was very dapper the other day.
Thank you.
And Duncan, my brother, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I feel I've got DJ and me next to each other on the main screen, so we're just gonna couple up so that we're not left out here. But we both have our pups. I mean, I guess we're not alone, right?
Right. Yeah, you got pups. Where's your puppers?
Got our doggers right here.
The pup's right here. He won't get within a foot away from me since the eclipse, man. He makes me nervous.
Smart. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
Well, should we fire this off with a little prayer?
Well, I think that's a must.
Okay. Well,
By the way, I will make this statement. If you forget to pray until later, you can always pray back.
Yep.
That would sound like speaking in tongues.
No, you pray backwards. God is in control of time.
Literally backwards.
But, I don't have to pray backwards in my language. Just okay.
Just pray. You just say your prayer. Let God sort back to the beginning.
All right. Well.
Well, I just want to remind you that he's in charge of time. And time is a different thing with God.
It's irrelevant to him, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Says 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like an hour, an hour is like 1,000 years. What it's trying to say is that time is a different dimension for God, if it's a dimension at all.
Well,
you're an eternal being, there wouldn't be anything but the present. You wouldn't have past or future, don't think.
Mm. Well, I mean, in our spiritual bodies, we don't really need to worry about it, do
we? No.
So why worry about it on this plane of existence?
Well, we don't. Remember we started this study with that first chapter of Ephesians. We did that for a reason, and that was to learn what we are in Christ today, right now, and stop living in the past and move into the future. We're new creation. new creature.
Well, there is one good use for time, and that is when we know to put on the podcast.
Well, time is a valuable tool for human beings, of course, but it's still, in God's eyes, it's a different dimension. I'm not smart enough to know how exactly how.
It's also a valuable tool for our evil overlords.
Well, of course. Most everything that's good
don't for... Don't bring the Federal Reserve into this.
Also been corrupted.
Well,
by the way, who do you think is the leading Class A stockholder in the Federal Reserve? You want a little lesson on the Federal Reserve?
Absolutely, Jim. Hit us.
The Federal Reserve was formed in 1916 as a private bank, and it was a banker's bank. That meant it provided services for other banks. There were two classes of stock. It still exists today. Class B stock. The member banks buy the Class B stock. Class B stock is non-participating, non-voting. It doesn't have any control at all. The Class A stock gets all the dividends and does all the voting, controls the company. Now, to know who owns the Class A stock is probably worth your life. It's a big secret. And the best you can do is to look at the money people in the 1916, and that might give you a clue. And of course, you know, you'd have the Mellons and the DuPonts and the Firestones and the Fords and who else?
Rockefellers.
Rothschilds, yeah. Vanderbilt, Paysoor. I can go on all day. Actually,
but
I can.
You're going to miss the main one if you're not careful.
Who is that?
The Queen of England. As far as we know, the Queen of England was the leading stockholder in the Federal Reserve system until she died.
Don't that make sense?
Well, the leading investor in the United States was for years England. Mm. They poured more money in here than anybody.
It makes sense. And dollars.
Sure. So, and of course, the in International Finance 101, I call your attention to the Louisiana Purchase.
Mm-hmm.
That land was sold to the United States by the French to finance their war against England.
Oh,
guess where the money came from to make the buy?
England.
We borrowed it from England at 6%.
Yeah,
they financed their own enemy.
They financed both sides. That's for sure.
Oh, they've been doing that since.
Well, international finance is different than the world we live in. That's on a higher plane.
Well, that's happening today.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they're finding both sides of the war right now over there in the Middle East, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure.
I'm actually in favor of selling a whole bunch of our land.
California, except for the people that I love that live there.
Sell California to the Chinese, and then nationalize it and take it back.
Yes, there we go.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Mm. Yeah, we'll sell it for what we own.
Yeah.
Sure. And then we'll take it back.
Now, there is another way to take care of the money they owe us. Mm. Just print the money that it takes to pay it off.
Right.
They do that anyways.
Right now we pay interest on our own money because when the U.S. Treasury needs some money, they call the Federal Reserve Bank and say, I need $1 trillion. And so they print it out and they exchange the money that they printed for bonds that bear interest. So we actually pay interest on that paper.
You know, we should get in the bond printing business.
Well, not a bad idea. Let's go with let's start with the driver's licenses and less penalty.
See, and the Queen of England's still working for America. Watch, I bet she votes for Biden this year.
She probably
that is Biden. That's what's going to be under the mask,
probably.
I have no idea where it's going, but we do know that God chooses the leaders of the countries.
Oh, yeah.
And according to Daniel chapter 4. Yeah, look at that. Bible reader, go to Daniel chapter 4.
And where should I start?
Well, I'm looking. I think you should start with 7. Start with 17.
Don't forget to pray, Jay Wu.
I will.
We can pray backwards.
Daniel 4, 17.
This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the man by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and it giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men.
Now, just check the words in that. This is simple English. He does it so that we'll know that he rules in the kingdom of men, and then he gives it to the basest of men.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
No, this is clear. This is why you got Biden. Thank you, Lord.
It was a blessing in disguise.
He did definitely wake a lot of people up.
Yes, he certainly, most certainly did.
All right, well, I'm going to pray.
Okay, please do.
All right. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this time that we get to spend together. Laughter, the word, time spent with one another, conversation, and knowledge and wisdom in your glorious word. We just ask a blessing over this time together, and we just ask a blessing over the world right now. Thanks to these baser individuals, we just pray for their spirits, that they may know the damage that they do, feel the full weight of the guilt and the shame of their actions. Thank you, Lord. Make them mighty servants. It is in your name we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when we think of these basest of men, but most people in the United States of America think of Hitler. But by the way, he was cheap compared to Stalin. Mm. Stalin was responsible for about 65 million deaths.
I think he was cheap compared to Biden.
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't got the score yet on Biden.
Yeah, well, that's kind of...
But here's the question I ask is, I want you to stop for a minute and answer this question. What is Adolf Hitler doing right this minute?
Burning in hell?
Yeah, that's part of the answer.
That's our hope, anyway. Well...
It's probably all the answer, but think of the agony of eternity in eternal darkness and gnashing of teeth. I would say that he is experiencing the worst kind of loneliness.
Yeah, absence of God.
Yeah, he'll never be connected to God.
You know, it's interesting. It just dawned on me as a Christian. You know, it's our, like we kind of talked about on Saturday, it's kind of our goal to get home as quickly as possible. I guess we could think of Hitler as kind of a help.
Well, yeah. Well, and we don't know that he did not turn to Christ through the gospel.
That's true.
We don't know that he isn't there in heaven with us. We don't know that.
I hope he is. I mean, I'd imagine he's probably down there laughing, going, look, they fell for it again. With all of our little brown shirts running around protesting.
I can't imagine anyone, the horror of hell, the horror of eternity in outer darkness by yourself. I really don't want anybody to have to experience that.
No.
Even the worst. And by the way, I may be the worst guy in the world. In my lifetime, I've had some thoughts that were ugly. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. Why, who am I to criticize Hitler? I'm just thanking God that he forgave me.
Yeah.
Well, to my knowledge, you haven't killed any amount of people.
Well, I haven't been as bad as I could be, but I've not been as good as I should be.
Yeah, true. There we go. That's pretty well said.
Very wise.
Well, this is a fun discussion. This morning, you know, our 11 o'clock Bible study went off on a couple of rabbit trails, and we never got back by 2 o'clock.
Well, so far we started off into rabbit trails. I don't know. We're going to get to the word.
You think about work. You know, we think of these people as which they are bad. Don't get me wrong, but all of it is playing into God's plan, because it all led up to the Jews going back to Israel. Though we think of, man, the enemy just keeps doing these things. And the enemy seems to have this perception that they're in control, but ultimately scripture is being fulfilled and God's plan is unfolding is what I think a lot of people miss that, you know, and even things right now, it's God's plan's unfolding.
It is. It's becoming more obvious by the day, but doesn't make any days some days less easy. Like today was a difficult one. You know what I'm saying? Like today was a difficult one. Today was one of those days that I literally had to pray to God multiple times. Like, God, please don't let me get those thoughts, man. Cause let's face it, man, our country, I think they're trying to kill us.
What?
I'm just saying.
I thought that for a long time. Hold on a second.
Wearing my tinfoil hat. But yeah, I think they're trying to kill us.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, I know. I finally got here. I don't like it.
I sent you that research on tinfoil hats, right, Duncan?
Oh, absolutely. And now I'm thinking about like sewing them into kilted Christian hats whenever I hand off a hat, man. Like it comes with tinfoil wrapped on the inside.
Right. Well, it needs better than tinfoil because there's certain. Let's see, it amplifies.
Oh, I'm going to put lead in mine, man. I'm going all the way.
That's a good blue.
People are going to have sore necks walking around with these lead hats, but
I was going to say that's a good neck and, you know, upper shoulder workout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell you, the biggie today, and I know we're not going to get into news, but like I just saw that Guatemala is actively trying to go after the child trafficking, which is awesome. This is what we need countries to do. And then I see that our government, this Biden administration, is literally retaliating against Guatemala for doing that. So not only are we trying to not trying to stop this perpetuation of this, but we're trying to stop the people who are trying to stop it.
You wonder where how big the payoff was and where it all came.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the Fed Reserve people that you were talking about. That's where the money came from.
Right. And it's worthless.
Yeah.
So they're doing all these deeds for a wealth and worthless paper.
Well, it's not quite worthless. I went to the grocery store and used a little of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot less valuable than it used to be.
It's my, you know,
daily.
Personally, I think that an hour's worth of work in 1950 bought less of the necessities of life than an hour's worth of work today. What has changed is the definition of necessities of life. Think about that.
Yeah. I agree with that.
We don't need a Starbucks cup.
Yeah. We think that we need two cars. Well, I think I only need one because my wife is not driving them. But the point is, I'm being silly. My wife has gone to heaven and she doesn't need a car.
I've been debating whether or not I need a car at all.
Well, you may not.
I got legs, feet.
Well, in the worst case, you could hire a taxi and you could hire a lot of taxis.
You're showing off, Jaywoo.
What's that, Pete?
I said, you're just showing off.
Oh, sorry, man. No disrespect intended.
Well, anyhow, you can all think about what we consider a need today. Compared to what we considered a need 75 years ago. And it's changed dramatically. And
it has.
It really has. We have a fund at our church where we help people in need. And the first thing when people come for us to need, if they have cable television, they don't get any money until they turn off the cable television. And then we have a little list of things.
It's a great idea.
Our needs, and we don't pay money. We don't put out our money for things that aren't needs. And
I used to work for a relief agency, and I had to sit down and do an interview with a budget. And that was one of the things, even back in the 80s when I was doing that, we even told them, you know, if they had cable TV or anything like that, we wouldn't offer assistance if they had those things.
My grandpa was the county commissioner, and this would be 1940. And at that time, the county commissioner ran the welfare program. And a girl, this is his favorite story, and a girl came in, and she had a catalog, and she said, I'd like to get the money to buy these shoes. Everybody needs shoes. And he looked at the shoes, and they were very impractical footwear. And he said, I don't think the taxpayers of York County should spend money for those kind of shoes. And as she left, she turned at the door and looked at him and said, you're not going to heaven.
Oh, boy.
He loved to tell that story, and it is a pretty good one.
That's ridiculous. Hey. Well, at least even back then, they were fools, I guess.
Yeah, nothing has changed. Listen, the book of Philippians and the book of joy let's get off this subject and get some joy. And is that my washing machine?
That's your washing machine, Jim.
Well, it'll be over in just a minute.
We don't even hear it.
I'm doing the towels.
We were just talking about necessities.
Right.
Right?
Jim's got a washing machine.
It's a combo. It's also a dryer.
Oh, it's a combo. It dries too.
Yes, sir. Believe me.
Wow, you're all highfalutin.
I am.
Not loaning you any money.
Y'all got windows and stuff.
He's got windows.
Oh yeah,
I got a roof on his house.
I got a rug on the floor.
I got one of the nice big barrels with water in it and a little metal thing that I just do this with the clothes, and then hang them out. The fancy stuff.
He's got a washboard.
Washboard. Yeah. Thank you.
I wash myself with a rag on a stick.
Well, I'm going to direct you to Philippians 1:9.
Philippians.
I'd like my little reader to read 1:9, 10, and 11.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
Isn't that, read that, that's good stuff. Read that again, please.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
Now, you know, earlier he told them that he prayed for them, and now he tells them the content of his prayer. And by the way, you guys are all, you guys meet every day for prayer. Mm. You need to do some of your praying in this pattern. If you think about most prayer meetings, they're usually praying about the wants at the present time, lots of prayer for people who are in poor health. But so many times they forget to pray these things, like pray that you'll be sincere and that you'll not give offense to the day of Christ, and that you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness. These are things to pray for other people. He asks God that their love will abound. He lists what that love will be like. It will approve that which is excellent. In other words, we've been talking about all the ugly news that's out there. There is some good news out there, and we need to know about it, and we need to approve it. Excellent means outstandingly good. In chapter 4, this we will read an expanded list of the things that we should be focused on to our thoughts. This word sums up what we will learn later. Excellent thoughts are what should be in your mind. Love will be in much knowledge and all judgment. It will be sincere. Sincere means real, free from pretense or deceit. That's what sincere is. It means real, free from pretense or deceit. It will be free of offense. Offense means an act that violates that which is right. Paul wants them to be filled with righteousness. He then gives all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful way to pray, but I know that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. This is a far better pattern today. Then he says in number, then he goes on to 12. Okay, read 12 through 14.
But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Now, he wants to encourage them with the way things are going in his life. if circumstances have resulted in the gospel going forward. Now, by the way, remember, he is a prisoner. You can visit his prison cell if you go to Rome. They'll charge you for it, of course. That's the way the world works.
They charge us to go to prison?
They charge you to see his prison. Listen, they charge you to go to prison in this country. It costs you $50,000 for the lawyer to go before the jury, and then you still go to prison. So,
I'll just stick to using Jesus Christ as my attorney.
How's that going to work? I'd be like, do you need an attorney? I've already got one. It's Jesus.
Well, and remember, and by the way, that you have to give your life to him. So I'm off on a subject that I didn't mean to be on. I started to say that you paid for your relationship, but that's a bunch of baloney. Oh. Yeah. Your body.
The love of Jesus is a life sentence.
Well, you always belong to him.
What sweet sentence, right?
Anyhow, let's get back to this. I'm sorry I went off a rabbit trail. He watched it. Read it again.
But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
The point I wanted to make is that he's writing this from a prison cell. And that, by the way, that prison cell was built like a jug. They dropped him in the top. And they fell in the bottom, and that's where they stayed. There's a little door on the side where they drag him out after the day. That was where he was living. He's living there. He's also bound. We learned this from tradition. And another place he talks a little bit about it. He's bound 24 hours a day to a member of the Praetorian Guard. And that's the special bodyguard for Caesar. And so you're being bound for 24 hours to the Apostle Paul. I would suspect you would get the gospel.
Maybe once or twice.
And he says, of course, he says here that since my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places, in other words, because of this being bound to this prisoner, the positive side of it is that the gospel is spreading. He's winning some of these guys. And so I think probably the thing you really want to put in your own life is that what looks like maybe the worst thing that could be happening to you may very well be the best thing that can happen. You may be lying in a hospital bed and soon to go on to be in heaven, and you may be winning a whole bunch of nurses. You don't know. You just don't know. It's beautiful. And this, of course, leads us to read Romans 8:28, a verse that we all know. We'll just listen to it again. Romans 8:28.
And we know all things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I might have got that wrong, but something like that.
Pretty good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
That's a promise. And by that's the reason you give thanks in all circumstances. Because all circumstances are working for good.
Amen. That's a great comfort verse is all I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. And in your life, it means that your life is never being wasted. It's always being used to bring good. You may not be able to see it, but the Bible says it's true.
Yep.
And I believe the Bible.
Could we call it the mac and cheese of Bible verses?
You said call it the mac and cheese of Bible. Now, his time in jail is profitable. We understand one of the palace guards, Praetorians, were assigned to him in 24-hour shifts. And, of course, I've always already said this one could hardly have been with Paul for that length of time and not hear the gospel. He says that many converts were in the palace. This whole event gave other brothers the courage to boldly preach the word. Look at all the good things that are coming out of him being in prison.
Mm-hmm.
More things that would have probably more good things than if he'd have been out on the street preaching the gospel.
I guess he had a captive audience just as much as he was captured.
Yes.
his audience was too.
Oh, well, yeah, the Praetorian had to spend 24 hours with him. He was changed. Wouldn't it be great to have an audience that couldn't get away from you? You know, God does things in such interesting ways.
Sometimes he's got a good sense of humor.
Yes.
Okay, he says, now he's going to give you another bit of truth. He says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So even in his time, there were those who preached the gospel because they hate Paul and hope to hurt him. In other words, others preach from good motives, loving our Lord and Jesus. You know, we always have the good and the bad. They all come together. And he says, what then? Notwithstanding, what then means, what about what I just said? He says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Look, when next time you're watching a program on television, and the guy's wife has a big puffy hairdo, and he's all dressed up with his gold diamonds and whatnot, and he's preaching. Listen, if he preaches the gospel, how that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and how he's dead and buried, raised again, then he's in this category that Paul is talking about. Even though whether in pretense, he still rejoices that the word is going. Mm-hmm. The message is bigger than the messenger.
Doesn't that make you think of Jesus? Was it the disciples that came to him and was like, Lord, Lord, they don't know you, but they're going around preaching or talking about you or the word or something. And I think Jesus said, forgive me, because I know I'm butchering this story.
You're getting very close. You're doing fine.
But he's like, if they're not against us, they're for us, or something. Yes, like that.
It's exactly what he said. They're not against
us. God is for us. Who can be against us?
Yes, that's what he said. He rejoices in the preaching of the gospel, irregardless of what is in the heart of the preacher. In other words, the message is more important than the messenger, and is not something we all know. The word endures forever, but the preacher passes on. I'd like you to read 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25.
If I can interrupt for just a second.
Sure.
So the same can be said for Bibles and different versions of the Bibles, and
it certainly could be said that. Yes, I'll tell you something about, you know, on my phone, I got about 75 versions of the Bible. Mm. I went in there and picked out the 20 worst ones that I knew about. Mm-hmm. And I went and looked at 1 Corinthians 15, 15, 4, 4, and 3, the gospel.
Right.
The gospel is word for word the way it is in the King James on every one of those Bibles. You can be saved in probably any version of the Bible. Mm. But by the same token, they do manipulate and mangle a lot of biblical truth. Mm-hmm. But there's still the message, the salvation message is coming through clearly.
Thank you.
So that's a good thing.
Right. And that's the most important thing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. However, God intended, gave you this other information. He intended for you to have it. He wants it. By the way, you know, the minute you believe the gospel, you're ready for heaven. Hmm. So the question is, why are you still here? And the answer is, you're here to glorify God in your life. And by that, you are then transmitting the word to other people so that other people can have what you have.
Amen.
You're all evangelists, but you not, listen, none of you are evangelists. Evangelist equips people to tell others. Mm. So you should all be equipped to tell others, but the evangelist in the truest sense is the one who equips you. That's, we learned that when we studied Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Miss Kitty.
1 Peter 1:24-25.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Okay, the word of the Lord endures forever. Mm. But all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. We don't last. But look at this book. This book and parts of it are 6,000 years old. And it's still around. And there's been all kinds of attempts to kill it. But it won't die. It's also the one thing in the, well, there's two things. This is the one of the two things that has never been corrupted by the world. Everything else in this world is corrupted by the curse. There's only two things that weren't, and this is one of them.
You know, the amazing thing, it seems like the harder they persecute Christians or Christianity, the more it grows.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is it not? And I think even like the Romans, or even back in the day when they were persecuting them and scattering them, what they were doing was they were helping the gospel. Their evil led to, or their attempted evil led to the people that knew the gospel going out to different regions and areas and spreading it more. And it all played into it, you know? And that ties back into what we was talking about, like even through the trials and things, good is happening, even if you don't see it right off the bat, you know?
Right. Well, it's like that advertisement during the Super Bowl where, what was it called? Jesus is like us, or?
Oh.
And he's going around washing everybody's feet.
Jesus gets us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even something like that. Because I mean, I remember us talking about that, and I felt like ultimately that was good because it was saying Jesus's name on public television, one of the busiest days of the year. Granted, it wasn't a fashion in which Jesus gets us, but
yeah. It could have been. It was kind of. You could look contentious or whatever you want to call it. But maybe it got people to look into the word.
Right. Maybe it's got them to go look into it. It promoted Jesus. You know, wrongly, but it still got his name out there and stuff. So, and I think, you know, there's probably people won over to Jesus through that stupidity.
Well. I have a question.
Just looking. Go ahead. I'm listening.
You talked about the grass and the flesh basically being the same. And that leads me to curiosity because I had heard something about the difference between Cain and Abel's offerings and the reason why one was accepted and one wasn't. And I had heard it was because the one was from the earth that was tainted and from the curse and was also tainted by the labor of man's hands. And the other was, you know, like an animal that didn't have any blemishes or marks on it.
First half is right. And the second half needs a little expansion. The lamb was the innocent for the guilty, pointing to Christ.
That clears it all up. Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome. Some of the truths of the Bible are so quick and easy.
Right. Funny, because I come over here.
It was like you hit a light switch. Oh, here it is.
I come over here sometimes looking to have a conversation with Jim, and I've been thinking about it all this time. And then I come over, and I'm like, hey, Jim, what do you think of this? Oh, well, that's blah, blah, blah. And then we're done. It's like, oh, wow.
That was so much of a shorter conversation than I was anticipating having.
Right?
That's awesome, Jim. Thank you.
JJ was like, I got you, Jim.
Yeah. Bam. Time, we're going to have a talk.
Nope. Listen, let's get fair about this. Hebrews says it's a matter of faith. I'm just trying to look it up. I can't find it, but I know it's in there. So there's more. He had faith in the substitutionary faith, substitutionary death of the Messiah, and it was represented by the death of an innocent. But in the chapter 11, I think it says, and chapter 11 in Hebrews is called the faith chapter. And he talks about all these different things, faith, Abraham. You know why Abraham was willing to, do you know why he was willing to sacrifice Isaac?
I don't.
Well, the New Testament says that he thought he would get him back. In other words, he believed in resurrection.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He knew that, that God, he knew God. He knew the sacrifice, even if he had ended up sacrificing Isaac, it wouldn't have been in vain.
It says, by faith, this is Hebrews 11:17, I get to read. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now I'm trying to find the faith of Abel and Cain. I may have to save that for next time.
And you see all this pointing back to Jesus, don't you, Jay Wu?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And by the way, remember when we first started this and I re-emphasized it, you must keep it. I think we'll have it tattooed on your forehead. And that is, how does this point to Christ? Because it all does. Now, I'm not spiritual enough to find it all, but it's there.
Yeah.
And so we go right back to Cain and Abel and the death of the innocent for the guilty. That's Jesus Christ.
Because there in Hebrews 11, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh.
Good. Thank you, dear. Read that again.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh.
Well, hold on a second, though. Didn't Cain sacrifice him?
Sacrifice what?
Abel.
Well, I don't think it was a sacrifice.
Yeah. And he wasn't innocent.
But he was a murderer.
But he sure did kill him. There's no question about that. And by the way, the blood of Abel, there's another place in there where it talks, and I think it's in Hebrews also, where it talks about the blood of Abel crying out for revenge. And then it compares that to the blood of Christ, which cries out for forgiveness.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
So even the blood of Abel pointed to Christ. It all points to Christ.
Yeah.
We're gonna tattoo this on everybody's foreheads.
Is that called a Christology? What is that called when it all points back to Christ? Is it Christology or something?
You can call it Christology. Ology means a study.
Yeah, I think that's just a good topic to just go into.
We all want to be Christ-centered.
Yeah.
And in evangelism, this is really important, because when you talk about God, all the audience thinks about is the force. You know, the force is out there somewhere. There's no confrontation in talking about God. It's when you bring Jesus Christ into the discussion. You don't have to be confrontational. You just have to bring his name out there. You pop his name out there, and now all of a sudden, that's different. That's the swear word. That's the swear word, by the way.
Yeah, that's what Jack Hibbs, when he prayed at the, was it, you probably know better about this, Deb, or somebody, because somebody told me about it. I didn't actually see it. But he prayed at the Capitol or something, and he actually used the name of Jesus. And, oh, man, they threw a fit. A lot of them did. Oh, he broke the rules, you know. Can't use that name, but it was okay to pray to God.
Yes, yes.
Kind of silly, ain't it?
Yes. And see, in John, I think it's chapter 14, It says the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit will glorify God. So when you use Jesus Christ's name, you turn on the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit's ministry to unbelieving people is that he convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So then you turn on the Holy Spirit, and now things are happening inside of that audience. And this is how you get men saved. Now, once that thing's turned on in here, all you have to do is tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins and dead, buried, and raised again on the third day. They're ready to believe. So, as good evangelists, use Jesus Christ's name. In fact, when I tell somebody that God is blessing me right out of my socks, I try to remind myself, and I'm not good at it, to say Jesus Christ is blessing me right out of my socks. That's better. I'm working on that.
Exactly.
If I live to be 100, I'm going to have that.
Where your socks actually jump off your feet?
Oh, yeah, they'll jump right off. And, you know, Peter and Kelly, they sent me some more, so I'm all set.
Oh, you know, you share a little bit. You know, I'm your co-host.
You're not getting any of my socks.
Hey, look, I'm barefoot right now.
See, that's a sign. You want me to love you?
I'm sockless, man.
We have fun. Now let's listen to what God has to say. He says, we talked about that. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So this should be the theme that we live out in our own lives.
Amen.
Our lives must glorify Christ. We must continue to live a life that shows that Christ lives in us, even though to die and join our Savior in heaven would take off all the pressure. And there is pressure. You are in a constant tension between the spirit and the flesh. And that tension never goes away. And that's one of the great hopes of heaven, is when you die and head for heaven, that tension will be gone. It will no longer be in that tension. And of course, what we do with that tension is our mess up festivals.
Yeah.
This little guy on this shoulder says, do this. This little guy says, not a good idea. And you say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm wrong about this little guy. Thank you that you've forgiven me. And you move on.
Give him the brush.
Give him the brush. The Bible says that resist the devil and he will flee. Now, the devil isn't personally perched on your shoulder, but it could be one of his helpers.
His minion?
Yeah, he is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. Okay. Now, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labors, yet I shall choose, I know not. He uses the word, the old English word what, W-O-T, means no. I shall choose I wot not. I love that word. And that means no, I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So he's continued to discuss the stress between meeting his Christian responsibilities here on earth, or going on to the next world where there is no sorrow, nor pain, nor death. He realizes that he is still needed here. Well, that could be you guys. That could be every one of you. You're here because you're still needed here. I don't know how God's going to use you. I think he's using you when you don't know it. I think he's probably every one of you is probably used in some way today. Mm-hmm. And I think it happens every day. And he says in verse 25, and having this confidence, and then, in other words, he's saying, because this is what I believe, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, confidence in this context means convinced. And having this conviction, it could read, he must have received news which led him to believe that he might be released and could come and see them again. He knows that they love him and will be overjoyed to see him again. Now, I remember I told you some time ago that conversation means way of life. So he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, this is the way we're to live. Because see, he says, only let your conversation, in other words, only let your way of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Remember, unity, unity, unity. God wants unity. One mind. Only let your way of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. My 10 o'clock My 11 o'clock Bible study, they went crazy over that business about the adversaries. He now exhorts them. He says their way of life must complement the gospel. He wants their life message to support their spoken message. This is our goal, is to have a life message that matches our spoken message. Now, we need both. Listen, there's Bible teachers out there and churches out there where they say, well, we'll just live like Jesus. Okay? And then you got a whole bunch of them over here that say, we're just going to preach the gospel. And this bunch over here, they got a bunch of people that are nuts doing things they shouldn't do. And this bunch over here has got a bunch of people that never tell anybody about Jesus Christ. We don't want to be either one of those groups. We want to be in the middle. We want to speak the message, and we want to live the message. And when we're seen by people out here in the community that are watching us, and by the way, you're being watched not only by the people in the community, but if you remember when we studied Ephesians 3:10, or 2:10, you were being watched by all of the heavenly host. Mm-hmm. Remember, you were down on the playing field in the Rose Bowl. You know, and here's all the angels, and here's everybody up there, and they're watching God, and God's showing his wisdom through you. So you're always on display. That'll help you. When you have thoughts that lead you to be more than, be less than you are, more than you are. And I'm not talking about stopping laughing. I'm not talking about stopping having fun. I'm talking about being sincerely occupied with Jesus Christ. Being chained to Jesus Christ. You can be a member of the
be the Praetorian.
You'll be one of the Praetorian Guard.
Okay. It kind of makes me, I'm kind of thinking like, you know how a lot of times we think about all the problems going on in the world. We're like, well, we need to do this in our schools. And we need to do this in this institution and then this and this institution. And I'm just like, there's so many problems that it is hard to fix all of them. And I'm like, you know what? I can't think of, this is just me. Maybe y'all have better reasoning than me. I'm like, I can't fix all these problems not by myself, but I'm like, you know what? We just need Jesus. We just need Jesus across every institution and his values, you know, because then the problem will fix itself through Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It makes the problem a lot simpler, because I think when you try to look at all the problems of the world, you just get so overwhelmed with like trying to come up with individual solutions, and it's just too much.
Well, and we can't do anything about them anyhow.
Yeah.
We're just little guys. We have to realize that. We're just little guys, but we have the power of prayer.
Amen. But I was looking back into one of our favorite stories. I always talk about Peter walking on the water. And every time I read it, end up coming across some new stuff that I didn't catch before. And basically what happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus, you sink into the water. So even as crazy and nasty as a storm will get, as long as you can keep your eyes on Christ, he will pick you up and walk you back to that boat.
Amen. Amen. Many, many years ago, I went to a conference at UCLA. You didn't know you were talking to UCLA graduate. Big, big deal.
I had no idea.
Anyhow.
I figured you were like Harvard or Yale or something. I thought you were way up there.
I couldn't make it there. Anyhow, we were exhorted by a man named Bill Gothard. He's no longer in the ministry, but God had given him the gift of exhortation. And so I'm headed home. And because of his exhortations, I have a basket case. I have a list as long as your arm about the things in my life I needed to take care of. And I was overwhelmed by the number of things I needed to take care of. And God in his wisdom, God never speaks to me, but sometimes I have a conviction. And it just came to me, Jim, you can only work on one of those at a time. So why don't you just take care of them one at a time? And so I began taking care of those things one at a time. And I'm working on my last three right now. And that's lasted me since 1972. It was a long time.
That's funny.
So don't expect it to happen overnight. The Bible says, here a little, there a little. Line on line, precept on precept. So.
Well, you make a good point. Maybe you start with the easy stuff first, you know, because, you know, like we look in our lives and we go, man, this is the one thing that really bothers me about myself. And, you know, that's the big deal. But maybe if you practice up by knocking off the little things like no more white lies or
that might be one of the big things.
Well, yes.
I think it's the last thing on my list.
Well, when you start paying attention, though, you really catch yourself. Like,
absolutely.
Like, in your daily conversation, it's like, it's so amazing how often it happens. But when you're aware of it, that's when the work begins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As G.I. Joe said, knowing is half the battle. Anyway. just pick at those little things, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. Is eating too much chocolate a sin? I guess it could be gluttony.
Yeah, depends on whether or not it's
or black, too much dark ice cream
or not.
Too much ice cream.
There's no such thing. It's too much ice cream.
There's no such thing.
Chocolate getting between you and Jesus.
That's Praetorian Guards is kind of.
Jim, I've discovered subsists on ice cream and chocolate.
Well, I don't like to cook.
Dude, man, I would live on ice cream if I could. It's good stuff.
Jim's
that gooey butter cake.
It ain't all bad, you know.
Oh, my.
Jim's reached the plateau where he can eat ice cream if he wants to.
Well, by not, I can eat anything I wanted, as much as I wanted, anytime I wanted. And you know, a strange thing happened. I stopped thinking about food and I lost a little weight.
now it's just one tub of ice cream in a.
Yeah, we just full of ice cream. Well, my doctors, you know, I have a little bit of high blood pressure, and a little bit of too much sucrose. I don't know why I have too much sucrose, but she's afraid I might go low during the night. And I live alone, and so she says, "Be sure and have a little sugar before you go to bed, because you can die from going low on sugar in the middle of the night."
Mm-hmm. Perfect reason for ice cream.
That would really suck to go that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, it might be really fun. You'd arrive sweet.
but circling back to what you were saying, the one thing we have to remember, chief of sinners though I be, you always have to keep that in the back of your mind that you are that sinful person. And, you know, as we go through and think about knocking these things off of our list, that sinful nature of ours is still sitting back there, slapping us in the back of the head.
Yep. It's still there.
And that's what, when you mess up, because you have flesh, you are, you know, you still are walking in this vessel, this body, and it's waging war against you daily. There's going to eventually something, you're going to give into something eventually, because you are flesh, but that doesn't mean to quit. That doesn't mean quit. It means when you fall off that horse, get back up on the horse.
Yeah,
you know what to do. You know what to do. You have to ask for that forgiveness and know that you're forgiven.
Yep.
Amen. You know,
when you mess up,
is to remember that you know you are forgiven.
Yep.
Amen. Great. Always forgiven.
Amen. When you mess up, you better mess up.
Yep.
Now, there's a couple things he wants for these people. And we're still working on these three verses, or these two verses, 27, 28. I think maybe we should have Kitty read them again.
Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God.
Yeah, that's, you got to think about that line. If not, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. They had a lot of adversaries. I'm not sure we have the same number. I think our adversaries may be hidden. I think their adversaries came at them where they could see them. But
yeah, ours are chickens.
What do you think our adversaries would try to terrify us with? But when you think at it from our standpoint, nothing comes to my mind to be terrified of, though. You know what I'm saying?
No, because you're a Christian, but otherwise it's alien abductions and
anything on Fox and CNN, MSNBC, that's the thing, is you're a Christian.
One to me is telling you that Christ isn't real, that he didn't exist. Wouldn't that be the most terrifying thing?
Well, remember, if you study the two verses, it says you're not there. The Philippians are not terrified. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. So they're not being terrified. The adversaries may be a terror group. But because of their one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, they're not terrified. And then this is really comforting, which is to them, that's the adversaries, an evident token of perdition. You are frightening your adversaries. You're an evident token or a sign of perdition. So you're going to terrify your adversaries by your faithfulness and your unity. They're the ones that are afraid. You don't have to be afraid.
Amen.
They can't hurt you. If they kill you, it's so much the better.
And that's what, ever since God saved me, and the more, I grow and just learn his word and read it and grow in faith, and there really is nothing to be afraid of, nothing, if you're in Christ.
Right.
That's what I've always felt, the best word, safe and protected, comforted, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
Should be. Right? Yeah. Should be. As others see their victorious lives in Christ, it will be evident that the enemy is only destroying themselves.
Yeah,
I think we see a lot of that going on right now, that's for sure.
Well, I thought about it. When I heard that Iran took a shot at Israel, I said, uh-oh, that's the end of Iran. They just took a shot at God.
In my study notes, it says here that when believers willingly suffer without being terrified, is a sign that God's enemies will be destroyed and eternally lost. So,
good. That's a good way to put it.
It's a little too.
Now, for some reason, I have written a little note here, and I'll have to read the verse, find out what I was talking about. But my little note said, our enemies are committing suicide, Romans 8:31. We'll read Romans 8:31.
Romans 8:31.
I didn't remember 8:31 being like that.
Maybe you're all whacked out on the ice cream.
Well, I might have been. This may be an ice cream statement.
And it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Oh, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If
God is
for us, enemies are committing suicide. God, read that again. That's a beauty.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah. Now, to be specific about these verses before we move on, he wants them to be unified, standing fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for faith in the gospel. In other words, we're actually striving together here and building the faith of one another in the gospel. We're doing exactly what he's talking about here. And that's to be a source of joy for us. And I think it is. I sense in this group a real joy. And I of course, I can't sense the what's happening with the group that's with us on chat. But I can believe that these two are filled with joy.
There's lots of hearts going on in the chat. They're filled with joy in there.
Hey, that's what we want. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing.
So Jay-Woo, there was a thing with ice cream. During Prohibition, they didn't really have bars, so that's where the ice cream parlors really got popular. In World War II, they actually had ships that were ice cream ships, right, Jim?
Yes, they did.
See? So that ice cream thing's got a deeper root.
We suffered because some days we didn't have any ice cream.
They're over there. Imagine,
I don't know how I can get much worse than that.
The gangster of that, dude. We're over there fighting in the jungles, right? And our boys have ice cream.
And that's what they need to keep up the fight. Listen, guys.
Ice cream.
You, listen, don't be afraid of ice cream. It won't hurt you. And if you're scared of the sugar, go get some.
It's way better than alcohol.
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh my. Well, anyhow, we do have fun. Remember, I told you about the guy at Hobby Lobby that ran out with a $20 bill and said, go buy yourself some ice cream.
No.
Oh, we were joking in Hobby Lobby like we are now. And I got my car, and here he came running across the parking lot, handed me a $20 bill. He said, go buy yourself some ice cream.
That's awesome.
There's
something that ever happened to me.
I meet some really sweet people out there. I can't tell you how many wonderful people there are in the United States of
America. I think it's because you put it out there.
Well, maybe I would like to believe that, but I think God has them out there. And when we become a little bold, it helps them be bold.
Absolutely. You're 100% on that.
I meet so many Christians. I meet a Christian almost every time I pick up my telephone. All those people that you talk to on the telephone, you know, and all I ever say is, you know, Jesus Christ, bless me on my socks. And I find every Christian there is out there.
That's a good one.
And they buy
you. No, I met Larry when I was selling ice cream.
What? That's gotta be a story.
He didn't buy any.
He's like, ice cream. I don't want any ice cream, but do you have any socks?
Well, he took one look at you and he had all he wanted.
why buy the ice cream when you can marry its source?
That's it. Yeah, heaven said he didn't need no more sweetness when he met you, Kitty.
About that, but yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ is so wonderful. Anyhow, verses 29 and 30, I think, is what we're ready for.
Kitty, you're so sweet. You're giving us all type 2 diabetes.
I bet he doesn't even let her take a shower. Does she melt? Larry, you let her take a shower, or does she melt?
Well.
I've been in a chicken coop all day. Just imagine. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Stay
out of that chicken coop.
I know.
My daddy died of emphysema. And everybody said, You must have been a smoker. Well, he wasn't a smoker, but he cleaned the chicken houses. And he just said, I'm sure I got it from cleaning chicken house.
Yeah.
That's a dusty place.
Read 29 and 30.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Well, you know, we're believing in Christ, but the Christian life is not just of all the charities.
What?
No, it isn't. We're called to believe, we're called to suffer for him. In our country today, we do not have the persecution those people were having, but we do suffer ridicule. Working people are sometimes shut up and not allowed to speak out. When our Christian believers and morals become political, bad things happen. The people with their cake shop were persecuted by the government. Businessmen are threatened with boycotts for faith in Christ. Christian students in colleges are badly treated by professors if they speak out. Nonetheless, the Lord knows about this and takes it personally. I'd like you to read Acts 9:4.
Acts 9:4, good buddy.
And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Now remember, this was that time in the Apostle Paul's life when he was persecuting Christians. And he's doing a pretty good job. But you notice that Jesus, when he appears to Saul, he says, he doesn't say, why are you persecuting those people? He says, why do you persecute me? So all this persecution that's in the world today is directed to Christ. And he's the one that can take it. And by the way, I would not want to trade places with any of these people who are persecuting Christians. Yeah. I think they're just committing suicide. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to make this a little housekeeping. The Bible generally is well taught in chapters as we are teaching. But you need to remember that occasionally the thoughts go right across the chapter boundaries. And I think this is one of those, because here he's had this conflict, this conflict about, it talks about their persecution, and then he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if we had some laugh about this, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye by joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I think the chapter division might have been a little better, a verse or two down, but I would not want to take anything away from the man who was so dedicated that he could go through this whole Bible and divide it into verses and chapters.
Mm.
And we're going to study it by chapter. I just want you to remember this occasionally. The thought needs to cross the chapter boundary. So at this point, we stop. We finish chapter one. And our scheme for studying is we finish one chapter. Then we look at the clock. And if we have time, we then read the next chapter.
Well, we got about 13 minutes.
Well, we have 30 verses here. I think that's quite a bit to read in 13 minutes. I think we need to stop here, and we'll pick up next time at Philippians chapter 2.
Sure. And we can take questions if anyone has any questions.
Yeah, we'll just talk a little bit and enjoy this 13 minutes. By the way, the next meeting, I believe, is on the 20th. That sound right to you guys?
I'm going to have to confirm that right now. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll be starting a read. We'll read the chapter. We'll read chapter 2. Then we'll talk about the questions about chapter 2. We'll have fun with those. We always do. And then we'll walk through the chapter 2 and talk about each verse.
Well, does anyone on the in the chats have any questions or
comments?
Or comments or observations or
Laughs.
Laughs. We could talk about bowels again.
Oh gosh. Oh,
tender feelings. Tender feelings. That's what the bowels mean. Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, the church being the bride the bride of Christ, you know, you think though, like as a husband or even when you're with somebody, if somebody does something to your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, how enraged and angry you just naturally get if they hurt, you know, the person you love most in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, the ideal thing is covered in Romans where it says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord."
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking, though, with the church, when they're persecuted, they are the bride of Christ. You know, it's Christ he ain't putting a blind eye to it unless you repent. Don't get me wrong.
Right. And something I notice more and more, too, is when people take his name in vain around me, it really bothers me. I mean, it has never bothered me as much as it does now when I hear a GD or...
Yep.
And I notice it everywhere in songs, movies, everywhere.
Yeah.
It literally pisses me off. I'm just like...
I'll help you with this. Bible reader, can you find a verse in Matthew that has the word defile in it?
And also, there's no idle word you say that you won't give an account for.
No,
well, that's
that. But those are all taken care of at the cross.
Man, yeah, right. Shut up.
I'm just trying to give you hope, man.
No. Okay, Jesus is talking about the heart, and he says defilement comes from inside. Did you find it?
I'm thinking.
Look at 15:18, Kitty.
Okay, thank you. There's a lot in Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there it is. So 15:18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man."
So read the verse before that.
Okay. I think I'll read the one after it, too.
Okay. We need context.
Because it says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man."
Listen, nothing from outside can defile you. That's what that verse is saying. Mm. That includes the guy that's got a foul mouth around you. That can't hurt you, can't defile you. No. The only thing that can defile you is what's in your own heart.
Right. Yeah. Well, it hurts to hear other people take his name in vain.
Not if they're not Christians.
No.
If he's a Christian, you should take him aside and rebuke him.
Well, I was going over something the other day, and it was kind of perfectly said, is that, you know, like Satan can't curse us. Like you were saying, things are outside. Like we are the ones that destroy ourselves. And since the devil can't curse you, he spends his time getting in your head so that you curse yourself, basically. And it comes down to what, you know, we guys have talked about before about semantics and how, like, we use so many words today. And ultimately, by them coming out of our thoughts and out of our mouths, we're ultimately cursing ourselves by using these semantics. And we don't even realize it. And I always go back to the word luck or lucky, which is one that we've been saying since we were kids, you know. And I'm every time now before it comes out of my head, I become conscious of it. And I'm like, okay, no, because God's not luck. But then, once I said, this luck comes from Lucifer.
Well, even funnier. Deb, do you by chance remember what the definition of lucky was? I remember we did a thing.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
It's something diabolical. It's wholly other than what you think it is. You know, and that's a whole
touching,
Well, we don't have a God. We don't serve a God of chance.
No, we don't.
No.
How can we be lucky? Now, I got the verse, though. That's, remember, doctrine comes from the epistles of Paul. So I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with 9, and read through to the end of the chapter.
1 Corinthians 5, 9.
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world.
Stop for a minute. Okay. Notice that he says, first he told them not to be in the company of fornicators, and he's using the word company, by the way. And then he says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. Because if you were, then you'd have to go out of the world, because you're going to be among bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go on with number 11.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat.
Okay, stop there for that. Now notice that he's now talking about Christian brothers who are involved in bad sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now he says, don't eat with them, don't have anything to do with them, don't eat with them. In other words, don't keep company with them. In other words, you're not to keep company with sinful Christian brothers. But you're not to worry about the fact that you're going to have to go out in the world and earn your living, and you're going to have a guy working next to you that's cursing his head off. And here's what he says about that guy next to him. Now go ahead and read 12 and 13.
For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Okay, so he's telling, don't worry. God will take care of the people that are without, that's outside the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God will take care of that guy that his language is offending you. God will take care of him. You know, it's not, in fact, it's not even your job. But if he's a brother, it's your job.
Right. Well, and you know, I never can. It just hurts to hear.
It hurts. I'm willing to accept that, but I want you to realize. I want you to take that hurt and turn it over to the Lord, because that's one who wants.
You know, one comment I would make every now and again was, "Oh, I didn't realize you were a praying man."
Yeah. Well, the question that you say to him is, you just say to him, "By the way, have you ever heard that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was dead, buried, and raised again the third day? You ever heard that?" If he says yes, you say, well, did you believe it? And if he says yes, he believed it, you have a Christian. Now you can rebuke
him. Yeah. Smart one.
That is a smart one.
So I'm asking a question, because in the King James, you know, some of the words are old-fashioned. And I don't know what a railer is. What's a railer?
The railer is a complainer.
Oh, okay.
A whiner.
So basically, all of us and everybody in the vineyard. I'm totally joking.
We're down to three.
I didn't think he worked on the railroad all the live long day, you know, but I guess that's.
y'all want to see a picture of Kitty?
What? I don't know. You can't see that.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Selling her ice cream.
That's not awesome. The picture. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
We only have a couple minutes left here. If no one else has anything pressing, I'll ask Duncan to pray us out.
Absolutely. And I hope everyone on Podbean enjoyed that picture. I'm just kidding. You guys going over to Rumble, it'll be up as soon as this show gets over, and it's absolutely worth seeing. Absolutely beautiful. Everyone, I'm going to pray for a bunch of things. I think many of us are going through, things, times are definitely weird right now. And if you could bow your head and literally pray with me, not just hear what I'm saying, but it just says, you know, move your lips, pray along with me so we are all on the same page. Everyone, please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another day, dear Lord. You give us so much and we really don't deserve it, but we are working our best to become better people every single day, dear Lord, and following your ways and following your steps and actions as well as we possibly can. But dear Lord, in this world, I know we need to focus on you. Even during the greatest of storms, dear Lord, as long as we keep on our eyes on you, we're going to get through this. And there's no question about that. But Father, we still get pulled into the chaos and what's going on in this world because it's unavoidable and it's everywhere. And we understand, dear Lord, just reading Matthew and other scripture, you've told us where we were heading. And although I think many of us feel like we know what we're looking for, we know what's coming, it still weighs a heavy weight upon us, dear Lord. So I ask that you take all of the burden, all of the stress off of our backs, dear Lord, and take it onto you, dear Lord, so that we can be a little bit lighter on our feet as we move down that narrow path and try to spread that gospel. Father, I ask on the days where we find ourselves a little too angry and not that righteous anger, you just pull that from us, dear Lord. Many of us become the warriors that this earth provided, dear Lord. We need to be the spiritual warriors, and we need to be your warriors, dear Lord. And being a warrior for you takes a lot of patience to know when to pull that sword and throw those rocks, dear Lord. So I ask that every single day you bless us, dear Lord, and just calm us down. Let us keep those swords and the sheaths and those rocks in our pockets at this time, dear Lord, and continue to spread the truth and to spread that gospel from nation to nation. And Father, there's a lot of people that just aren't ready to wake up yet, and honestly, sometimes that's the most frustrating thing is to tell people the truth, to show them the grace and the glory and the mercy that you give us, and they still don't want to see it. They still don't want to wake up, dear Lord, and it gets so frustrating. So I ask, dear Lord, that you pull that off of us. Let us be as patient with others as you are with us, dear Lord, and get more and more so. Continue to pray for the enemies and never be afraid to plant those seeds to a perfect stranger, dear Lord, or just walk around and offer to pray for people. Even if they don't want us to, dear Lord, when they turn their backs and walk away, we can pray for them anyways. Let us have that calmness in our hearts, dear Lord, and that true love, that love that you have for us, dear Lord. Let us love everybody, not just our families, not just our friends, dear Lord, but even those that turn their backs on us, even what we call our enemies, dear Lord. Let us love them more because they need that love and they need the prayers, dear Lord, more than the people that already know and serve you. Dear Lord, with you, anything is possible, and we know that. We see that. You have had the perfect book written, dear Lord, that is as relevant today as it was the day that it was talked about and the day that it was written. And I thank you, Father, because it gets more and more believable and more true every single day. But we need to find better methods in order to express that to those that are reluctant to find you, those that are so caught up in indoctrination and so caught up in what the devil's telling them that they don't realize that there's something greater out there. And the only greatness out there is you, Father. So I ask you, Lord, that you continue to guide us down that narrow path. Be with us every day like I know you are, dear Lord, and just lift the heaviness off of all of us. And dear Lord, let us all be ready to reach out to those that we see may be struggling. Let us reach out to those that may need prayer, dear Lord, and pray for them anyways. Father, let us continue to spread that gospel. And Father, just like we talked about earlier, if we need to be incarcerated, let us understand that that is your will, that nothing in our life happens that you don't utilize to your great glory. So, dear Lord, let us never be afraid. When they try to remove the Bible, let us walk outside proudly with that Bible. When they tell us that saying your name is outlawed, let us scream your name louder. Dear Lord, let us never back down. Let us never be afraid, and let us never turn our backs on you, dear Lord. Let us only get hotter and hotter every single day during this great war that we are walking into. But Father, lastly, I want to thank you. Thank you for letting us all be part of this great war. Thank you for letting us be here together. We could have been here at any other time in history, but you brought us here today. So let us stand up. Let us hone those skills that you've given us. Let us never be weary to complete any mission, and let us never be afraid to step outside of our comfort zone, dear Lord, because anything that we do is in your great name. We'll be thankful for everyone around us, dear Lord, because we're not just trying to benefit ourselves and give ourselves away into heaven, but offer that to others because they are all family. And whether they realize it or not, dear Lord, they are all family in your name. We love you, Father, with all of our hearts, and we thank you for everything you blessed us with. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for being here this evening, Amen. Spending some time with us. You know, you're just all such a blessing.
And our sponsor thanks you.
Amen. You know, we've got the best sponsor.
We've got a great sponsor.
In the entire universe.
3-in-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, no lie.
3-in-1. And, you know, we just try to do what you say. We try to promote him. Here on this podcast. Anyway, thank you all for being here tonight. You are just the best family ever, and I truly mean that. I just love you all so very much. So go bless someone. Go live the word. Thank Amen. You all so very much.
Amen. And you know what we need to do, Jay? We need to get some, you know, because once I get all the stuff that I need to start making shirts, we need to get some Book of Heaven shirts made up that simply on the back say, "Can I pray for you?"
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, that would be awesome.
Yep.
You know, we have another potential t-shirt printer in the family now.
Really?
I love that. I think that's a great idea, having that on the back of a shirt. Can I pray for you?
Can I pray for you? It's so simple.
I mean, that is, there are so many people out there that are suffering, and there's a lot of people that are suffering, but they know how to hide it.
Yeah.
Because we've been taught to hide our suffering in this world, Ooh. But there are people out there struggling. And if they see that on the back of your shirt, that might touch their heart.
That may be the one thing. They're like, life is hopeless right now. Will you pray for me? I'm not a Christian. Amen. Will you pray for me? And guess what? They may be a Christian soon. Like,
and free hugs on the front.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be like, I'll take the prayer, but I'm cool with the hug.
There you go. But when you got them all trapped in your embrace, you can pray for them anyway.
Yeah. Precisely.
That you'll let go.
It's a 2-in-1 deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Real quick, too, before we sign off, you know, the Jeff's raffle is still up. I'm so thankful for Angie for doing this. So if you do feel the need in your heart to go, like you said, I've got it up on Kilted Christian on Telegram. Tam's got it up right here in the chat. Just a little donation. Like I said, we all have to watch out for each other. And Jess had some really rough times with his illness, and the bills don't stop, at least not yet. So, guys, we love you very, very much, and we're just so very, very thankful for all of you for joining us each night, coming together in prayer and coming together and talking about God. So have an absolutely beautiful rest of your evening. We love you. God bless. And I leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say.